Blessings, everyone. It's always an honor to be here with you all, to share. I don't get to be here as often as I would like, but it's always a blessing when I do, because I'm always received with open arms and with much love. For that, I'm always grateful. So let me begin. I remember my father once telling me a story when he was working for a dental supply store. Day in and day out, he would see these large 5-gallon bottles of green liquid. One would originally think that it's like soap, right? Soap. Wonderful, great smelling soap. With like, you know, have you ever had palm olive soap? It's nice and thick, you know. You can tell I like doing dishes, right? Now, this is not a marketing ploy to buy soap after the service. Like palm olive, it softens hands while you do dishes. But one can imagine, and I'm going back to soap here, the thickness, the smell, how it feels when you're washing the dishes. My father was always tempted to go and take a whiff of that soap. He wanted to take those deep, deep down smells, like that, those deep smells. So he can be in a state of euphoria, right? Even for one moment. Soap. Oh. Well, one day he couldn't take it anymore. He made sure no one was looking. He took one of the bottles, he opened it, and he took a deep, deep breath. Without even looking, because you know when you breathe, you gotta close your eyes, right? You go, closing your eyes and all. Now, this is where a little wisdom wouldn't have hurt. If he would have taken a moment, just one moment, to read the side of the bottle, he would have read that it was ammonia. So consider the fact of taking a deep, 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 deep whiff of ammonia. For a good several minutes, he was opening windows frantically, trying to breathe normal air. That's how he remembers telling me. Running around like a wild man. Some thought he was trying to throw himself out of the second-story window. A little wisdom wouldn't have hurt. There's a saying about wisdom. By three methods, we learn wisdom. First, by reflection, which is the noblest. Second, by imitation, which is easiest. And third, by experience, which is the bitterest. My father learned through that third experience. but I want to talk about the other two, reflection, maybe a little bit of imitation. Wisdom. Wisdom is a quality, a way of combining our own experiences and other experiences, knowledge, and including it with good judgment. The key here, though, is quality. One can have quantities of experience. One can have many experiences. One could have traveled the world over, gone to the best schools, experienced more than anyone, and still, it doesn't add up to the quality of gaining wisdom. Wisdom is a call to reflection upon what one has experienced, thinking about it, reflecting on it, and combining it with knowledge, what one has learned, the stories they've heard, the laws that have been passed down from generation to generation, traditions. And when the time comes, when a decision must be made, when advice needs to be given, wisdom arises. What's also interesting is that wisdom is not given to someone, right? We don't give them that name, that person's wise, before a decision. It's usually afterwards, after the decision has been made, after the choices are made, after they've given some form of advice. Because at the end, they'll be like, that wasn't good advice. That wasn't wise judgment. Or it could have been, oh, that was good. Wisdom is a slow process, one that requires reflection, harmonization. So we are at a precipice, an interstitch, a rift. Or if you're a Doctor Who fan, I don't know if there's any Doctor Who fans out there, there's a crack in the wall. You know, we're standing in the gap, so to speak. Something odd that needs to be dealt with. As a country, we're fighting for or battling to maintain our health care. We're challenging a group of persons who have experience, yes, but not the experiences we may have had. Where the Affordable Care Act helps many, many people, those that are close to us. Some have not experienced the many whose lives have been saved due to the current health care we have, meeting the needs of people across the U.S. We have a group of persons who see their wisdom conflicts with another wisdom, maybe a more holistic wisdom, sacred wisdom, a wisdom that sees those who suffer and desires that they do not suffer any longer. We are at a precipice, at standing in the gap, where our leadership takes to Twitter to rant off a number of 180 characters without thought to what's being written, how it is written, or who it affects. We are seeing that certain people's thoughts and ideas move beyond or ahead of the needs of others or the needs of a nation. Leadership tends to call us beyond ourselves. And in those moments, a little wisdom wouldn't hurt. To be a leader, whether you're a mother or a father, a wife or a husband, what am I talking about? Just to be a person in this world, wisdom is necessary. Because one does not live in this space alone, but we walk with many, many others. It's a necessary quality to have. And yet to a degree, we are sensing a scarcity of it. It's being overpowered by something that takes our eyes away from it. Just like the story of the soap. What are these things that bring us away from looking towards wisdom? What are those other powers that takes one away from it? So I move on to this passage today where it introduces us to this pursuit of wisdom and the interaction between God and Solomon. Now, Rashi, who's an 11th century rabbinical scholar, says that Solomon was 12 years old. What a wonderful age to be the king of Israel. Maybe, though, it is not a coincidence that this particular event depicts a 12-year-old. I wonder if this speaks to the age of adolescence, where a child, regardless of girl or boy, begins to see the immensity of life and the beginning of the pursuit of something more. Solomon was given the responsibility to lead a nation. He was like his father before him, a worshiper of God. Just in the verses prior, he was seen as sacrificing over 1,000 burnt offerings. Talk about commitment. 1,000 burnt offerings. The text describes then that while he was asleep, he receives a chance encounter with God. The head honcho, the CEO of the universe. And this is what he was asked. What is it that you want? You are in this position of leadership. You're going to need all the help that you can get. What is it that you're looking for? So let me flip this question to all of you. What is it that you're looking for? These months, these summer months, are usually a time of rest and reflection, a point where we are moving back into the thick of things, right? Come September, where, you know, there's a new movement happening. For some, it's a preparation for the school year, finishing up writing. Yeah. Maybe I'm talking about myself here a little bit. Entering into the fall, finishing our vacations. I haven't had a vacation, so this is definitely not me. And it is luring us to really reflect on what happens next, what choices we're needing to make, what are the next moves, what are you looking for, what are we looking for, maybe as a congregation, what are we looking for? We're not looking to follow the same routines, but something that moves us beyond. A little wisdom wouldn't hurt. So at this moment, Solomon lays bare his soul. He just puts it out there. And I'm going to paraphrase here. But I would gather that in his dream, it's interesting that it's a dream too, because in the dreams, we go with the flow. We rarely have control. It's like, it's just happening. It's all out there. He comes to grips. This is what happens in his dreams. He's coming to grips with his inadequacy as a king, with his inadequacy as a leader. He's 12 years old, I would imagine so. So I'm thinking he's saying, I do not have what it takes to be a king. I am young, I'm not experienced, I don't have the knowledge of the elders that are around me. I'm not adequate for this position, and yet here I am. So what do I need? I need wisdom. I need an understanding mind to govern your people, to discern between good and evil. For who can govern your people, this great people? Solomon realizes that as a leader, he's given the task to lead and develop those around him. That's what a leader is. That's what a parent is. That's what a human being, right? What we do around affects other people. By the position that he's in as a leader, he's made to lead and develop. And he has to make choices. This is a heavy weight for him. Now, he could have asked for wealth. It'd be nice to ask for wealth. I really would like to have some wealth. Pay for my bills, pay for my school loans. But it would surely make a nation great. It would make him desirable, right? We have a lot of wealth. People want to come to that. And you know what? God would have given it to him. Now, he could have asked for power. And power makes a nation, and also the king, right, very well known among the others. Have you seen that nation? They're strong. They got it together. It would have been given to him. Long life, the death of his enemies, done. It would have been done. But rather, he asked for wisdom. Wisdom to judge his people well and lead his nation well. It's rather fascinating that a boy of 12 years of age has a capacity to realize that he is inadequate for the task, to realize this heavy weight upon him. You might say that he is pursuing wisdom. He does have the wisdom of those around him, those who are his elders and serving as his consultants. But Solomon understands, just like his father, that wisdom at his disposal, right? This is the immediate wisdom that he can, is not enough. That something more is needed. An alternative wisdom, other than the kingdoms that surrounding him function through. He knew that he needed like a divine wisdom, a sacred wisdom. We ourselves could read and listen and hear about many things and gain much wisdom. But this wisdom doesn't seem adequate enough. We are looking for wisdom that moves us beyond ourselves, beyond what makes us safe, beyond what makes us comfortable. We're looking for a sacred wisdom, a wisdom that seeks justice, not for one's own self, but for others, that finds solace and comfort in harmony, in working together. I believe that Solomon was in need of a divine wisdom to lead the people of Israel. And we are in need of a divine wisdom to turn this world around, whether it be the world of the church, our church, the world of the community, so on and so forth. We need to look beyond our own needs or a select few and seek the welfare of the city, which requires a wisdom beyond our means. When Solomon gave his request, God replies, "Because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches, or for the life of your enemies, but you have asked for yourself understanding to discern between right and wrong, I now do according to your word. I give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has been before you, and no one like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked for, riches and honor in all your life. No other king shall compare with you. I will walk. If you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, I will lengthen your life." That's verse 13, I added that there. Maybe a prelude to what comes next. You cannot go wrong with seeking out wisdom. In Proverbs 1:30, it says that Sophia, wisdom, calls aloud. I have wisdom here. She raises her voice in the public square. I think that makes us realize that even once the public square is anything outside of us, outside of in this church, outside in the streets, wherever we go, wisdom is calling out. Here I am. Look at me. In pursuing it, we cannot go wrong. Solomon sought wisdom, which began with following in his father's ways, seeking God among all things. A wisdom beyond ourselves begins with God. And once God is a walking partner in our lives, everything else follows and is put in its place. If riches or power were priority, then the nation would succumb to its demands in maintaining it. But by seeking wisdom, a sacred wisdom, we follow something more valuable than power or monetary wealth. For Solomon, this was the long reflection through his dream, his next steps, that a leader is one who seeks first God's divine wisdom, and in doing so, the rest will follow. True riches and power, then, are not what we think or fathom it may be. Because of this request, God gave him what he did not request for: wisdom, riches, long life. And there's none like him. We're still talking about him today. Right? That guy was a wise guy. In our pursuit of wisdom, to live our lives better, we are placed in the precipice or in the gap of these choices that we need to make. Who we listen to, who we hold on to, what we pursue, what we read, what we listen to. Next choices. But if we hold on to the divine, if we seek sacred wisdom, a wisdom that pushes us beyond ourselves. We gain a world and a soul. Bob Marley writes this: don't gain the world and lose the soul. Wisdom is better than silver or gold. We are always asked to think beyond ourselves, our wants and needs, because we're a part of a larger world. So what we decide in each moment affects everything around us. Maybe a little wisdom wouldn't hurt. A sacred wisdom, one that goes beyond ourselves, one that seeks the welfare of the city, the welfare of the people, of this place we call Earth. Maybe a little wisdom wouldn't